You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Kick off the show here.
We're agreeing!
So cleaned up.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Mafia Cast. We are back at it, and we've got all of us here. We've got the whole crew with us today, thank goodness. Still a little butthurt that you two left me last week, but that's fine.
I left. Hey, we left you in good company.
We did.
You had great company
with us last week. If you missed last week's show, check it out. We had a great conversation with Aaron Schatz with the DVOA statistic, how he came up with that, what exactly it is. I just kind of talked some Bills off-season news. But, of course, before we get into that, let's hear from our sponsors at Game On Sports.
Hey, it's John from Game On Sports Memorabilia. Check out our huge selection of unopened wax boxes of Pokemon cards. You have to see our selection of over 2 million sports cards in stock, plus hard-to-find card supplies. And if you have anything to sell, bring it in. We can help you determine the true value before you sell it. We pay fair market value every day. It's Game On Sports Memorabilia, 2670 Dewey Avenue in Greece. Check out our podcast for news and information on the card and collectible universe. Also, check out our Facebook page.
For more, call 481-2153. That's 481-2153. 2153.
And that was Game On Sports. That's John. Hey, how are you? Okay, first of all, let's go to Casey. COVID. How are you doing today? Are we better? Are you okay now?
I'm much better than I was. I mean, Mike saw me at my lowest, and it was rough. I mean, this was the second time I'd had it, and it was way worse than the first time. You know, first time was kind of just one of those head colds, you know, just kind of down and out for a couple of days. This time, I still can't taste. Can sort of smell things a little bit. I smelled my dog's terrible breath the other day, so that I was kind of excited.
There you go.
But yesterday was the first day that I was like, I walked into work and I looked at my buddy Jake and I was like, I actually feel like myself. Like I feel like I have energy. I mean, I went to work Monday and Tuesday and I felt like I was falling asleep, and I'm a truck driver. So that's like rule number one of not
to do.
So yeah, it does not mix. So I'm a lot better and I'm very happy.
Definitely sound a lot better.
Yeah. That's something.
Which is good because
you still look the same.
Cause we got plans this weekend too. Yeah.
Hey man, we're gonna need John to up that sponsorship. We're gonna fix this ugly mug. That's expensive.
Mike, how you doing? What's been going on with you? What were you doing last week that was so important that you had to skip?
So Sarah and I, Casey's sister, have been together 11 years now, and it's our anniversary on the 15th. We technically, I guess, got together the day after Valentine's Day, or it's something like that. So every year we have reservations. It happened to be on a Thursday this year, and you know, the reservation gets made, and that's how it always is. But we had good steaks, excellent dinner and dessert, and I overate once again, and we had a good time. We go out to the fancy joint like once, twice a year, and splurge a little. So it's always fun when we could do that. So yeah. And it's tough. I didn't want to miss that one either, because it was cool having Aaron on the show and stuff, chatting on getting more depth in what he does too. So that was really cool. I actually just I've watched the show over a couple times, but I just watched it over again earlier today. So
I gotta admit, not
anything too much, you know.
Mike, I did not. You've been in my life for 11 years. Yeah. I didn't know that was your anniversary.
Yeah.
So that's my. It's not like that's
we're married.
My bad.
We're not married.
No. Yeah, 11 years. Waiting anniversaries.
We're all still waiting on that one. The whole, you know, ring thing. But.
Yeah.
My sister's downstairs screaming, "Tell him, guys! Tell him!"
Yeah. No, she's on blast right now. We're all waiting patiently.
So you got some supporters, babe. So.
All right, we need to start. We need to start a bet. Who gets a ring first, my sister or Josh Allen?
I don't like bets in you lately.
I actually kind of like that one.
Speaking of which, I still got a little purple in here for anybody who's curious. There's still in the light. If I got,
I saw you when the if he was in good sunlight. I mean, I was like, your hair is purple, man. It was It's definitely dyed, and your scalp was totally purple too.
Yeah, that's better. That I'm thankful for, because that was. I mean, I understand.
Well, that's not your person. I got
it. It's supposed to be pink for all those who don't know. It's supposed to be pink.
But, I know.
You know, it came out a different color.
But Spence said it was good enough, and I.
Yeah.
If you've seen him in person, it was.
The second he said we're good, I ran. I was taking that and going with it.
All right, let's before we kind of get into some things, we have some announcements, something really cool coming up. I'll let Mike kind of tell everybody about this. This is exciting news, something that we've been working on with our sponsors at Game On Sports and John and his store. So go ahead, Mike. What do we got going on?
Yeah, so John's hooking us up with we have a Josh Allen rookie card 2018 from Panini, and it's we're doing a giveaway, partnering up with John, and we're announcing the winner next week's show. So we have a week to sign up. And what you do is you follow both Game On Sports and the Mafia Cast on Facebook. Tag three friends in the comment. It's easy if you get on Facebook. Go to either of our pages. You'll see the original post. Tag three friends in the comments. Like the post and make sure you follow both accounts, and you're entered to win. We'll have John on the show next week on Thursday, and we'll announce the winner. So good luck to everyone. I got a graphic here I forgot to upload, but I'll try to get that up, give you guys a visual too, so you could see everything we're working with here. So give me a little minute on that, and we can update you with the visual stuff. But that's basically what's going on. It's pretty cool. It's a $50 value card, and it's just pretty. John's always got something cool over there at the store. We were just there two weeks ago now? Last week? I don't know. A
couple weeks, three, I believe.
It's been a busy couple weeks for me, man.
I'll just throw this in there, too. Make sure you comment on the pages, because that's the only way we can verify that you've entered, because we need to, you know, obviously confirm that you're on the Facebook pages and following those. The last time we did something like this... there wasn't a lot of comments, so we had a hard time verifying if you're actually following the page, because Facebook is kind of weird when it comes to showing you who all is following. But at any rate, if you like, or if you follow the pages now, then that's going to automatically set you up down the road, because this isn't going to be the only one we're going to do. We're going to keep doing this kind of thing. We're really excited about 2024 and some of the things that we've got going on. So, but before we, or there's that. And let's go ahead and kind of move into what we want to talk about. We're going to start with the safeties, because we've already got some comments in here about the safety position. Nicholas, get rid of Hyde, keep Poyer, pair him with Douglas. I'm assuming he means Rasul Douglas, but that's a corner. And for the love of God, give Hamlin to someone else, let the kid play already. I'm kind of torn on Micah Hyde, honestly. I know that he had... by his standards, a down year. Maybe the age is catching up with him. I think it's more the injuries from the neck. But what do you guys think as far as, would you be welcome back a Poyer and Hyde duo back there, or are you kind of ready to let's get younger, let's look for some new blood and kind of rebuild that secondary?
I'll always welcome them to safety for the Bills, no matter what. I mean, the Bills are definitely in need of safety's depth, and so I'd say both. You know, I would welcome them back, but it's also time to get some younger talent in there, and not just at the safety position either. I think across the board, the Bills, with the cap situation, going to have to get some younger talent in there across the board, and see what some younger players can do.
I think these guys have one more year in them as a duo. I genuinely do. I mean, I think like you, Pop Ron, I think last year we can attribute more to Hyde's down year to the injuries. I mean, he came off a neck injury from the year before and then had a stinger, you know, a neck stinger. I mean, that's he's going to play it safe and the team's going to play it safe. I mean, that we all know the neck is something you don't mess with. And football is too physical of a sport where if you can't go 100%, that's how you're going to get hurt. That's why teams make subs if, you know, they're up big or down big in the fourth quarter, because you can't send the starters out there and say, hey, go half-ass. You have to go 100%. That was something that was engraved in us, like, you know, from our coaches playing modified. You have to go 100%, otherwise you're going to get hurt. So I think he just wasn't 100%. I think he just didn't necessarily trust it, might have played it a little safe but I think it'd be a good idea to – I hope they come back this year because of the cap space, because I think Micah Hyde would come back on a relatively cheaper deal, and that's the best bang for your buck at that point. I would rather rely on him on one last hoorah and line him up with Poyer so they can – like, because Poyer's contract expires next year. So I'd like to see them go off together. I don't think they'll go 1-1. And I surely don't want them to. But I wouldn't mind, like, you know, taking the guys. We have a couple extra picks in, you know, the third round and the fourth round this year. I think we have like 17 sixth-round picks this year, you know. Package two of them and trade up in the fifth or something and go get, you know, a decent safety that you can be like, okay. Like Bernard, sit him this year. Let him learn behind two legends who have played fantastic throughout their entire year and their entire careers in Buffalo, anyway. And let him learn. And then next year, we have guys waiting in the wings while we have more cap space to attack other positions instead of having to try to buy a safety next year or mess with the cap this year and have to go out and spend a little bit more than it would cost for us to maintain Micah Hyde.
Yeah, checking out the spot track, they have Micah Hyde's calculated market value at $3.7 million. And anybody that's, you know, kind of follows spot track and pays attention or hears some of the things that we say, spot track is generally high on their market value estimations. So I think that's a contract that Buffalo could do, a one-year deal and afford, maybe do some incentives with it. But I do think, and I've been saying this in a lot of my writings, because I've been covering, you know, a lot of the pending free agents we have and the draft and stuff. I think we're at the point with the Bills where they need to start focusing on rebuilding the defense. And well, not necessarily rebuild it, because we have a good foundation, I think, with guys like Christian Benford, Rasul Douglas, who's under contract for another year. I have a feeling Kyer Elam might surprise some people next year with the injury, being healthy from that. A new corners coach that sounds more likely to work with. I don't know all the situation with Elam and the previous one, but from some of the comments that Elam was making, the post-game stuff in the playoffs, it didn't sound like the two were working too well together. I don't know all the details. Obviously, it wasn't there, but so I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what that goes. But with the safeties, I do want them to draft somebody this year. I don't necessarily know that I want to spend money in the free agent market on like a Kyle Duggar, or there was one that you mentioned last week, Eddie Jackson. Yeah, as far as Eddie Jackson goes, I know you want to talk about that, so I want to hear from you what your thoughts on are with him.
I just think that if we're gonna spend money on safety, I mean, he's somebody who's been an All-Pro, a Pro, and a Pro Bowler. safety is a relatively cheaper position to pay for in free agency. So I think that like he'd be somebody that we might be able to snag. Cause he, like I said, he's got those accolades. Now he's looking for a ring, and we can all, for as you know, up and down as this year was, Buffalo is a contender. You know, they're ring chasing every single year. 100%. And I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing players like Eddie Jackson, you know, maybe not taking the biggest bag that they're offered, you know, from, no offense, but let's say Carolina or somebody, and go to somebody like Buffalo to where they can have an opportunity to go get that ring. If he pulls
a DeAndre Hopkins and says, it's not about the money, I want a ring, then we know he's lying and he's going to go sign elsewhere for the money. But sorry, I had to jump in there and mention that. What else you got?
No, it was just, I mean, my number one hope is like what I just said to Micah Hyde. I think like $3 million, Brandon Bean can make that happen like that, you know? So I think Micah Hyde's probably going to be the best bang for our buck. You hope he rebounds, and I think you just draft a safety later in the draft, you know, maybe late second, day two, early day three, and get a couple guys that can wait in the wings. Maybe, like we keep mentioning, maybe White or Elam are able to transfer. We've seen Hyde transfer from corner to safety. The only issue is White's a little thinner than those guys. I mean, he'd be a great ball hawk, but it'd be hard to get him to come down and play in the box for as poor of a tackler as he is.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that. This is, you know, everybody always talks about, we're not playing Madden here. I was going through a franchise a couple of nights ago, and the best tackle rating of all of our current corners, according to Madden, is Benford at over 70, which is actually better than what they have on Micah Hyde, I think it was. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Really? And we know that in the past they've kind of flirted a little bit with moving Benford there early on. I think the injury to Tre'Davious White kind of changed their plans. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see Benford make that move. Yeah.
I wouldn't like it. I think he's played too well at corner. I mean, I think he can be like the future number one corner. And, you know, 1B to Rasul Douglas, if they are the future at corner following this year. Because Tre'Davious, it's going to be hard for us to get rid of him. It's another one of those Von Miller, Stephon Diggs contracts. You know, it's not awesome. I think we can save $10 million, but there's still dead cap that we would have to deal with. So
on White?
Am I wrong about the dead cap, or can we
actually? Because I've got Spot Track right here in front of me, actually.
After June or something.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
But I just think that Benford's played too well. And not that he's cemented into the position, but I think that he's proved his worth. You know, he's shown that
he's kind of earned that spot.
He's definitely earned to be the starting corner on this team.
What if Elam comes in and plays really, really well though?
I think it's just going to be too hard. I mean, he's going to have to, I mean, blow the doors off of Benford. And we saw their rookie year. Benford came out, started week one over Elam. You know, I mean, So even then, before all the injuries, Benford was better than him. And as a fifth, sixth round pick out of D1A Villanova. So I think it's going to be really hard. I mean, if he does, I mean, hey, now we have a corner problem because we almost have too many good corners. You know, you can't use them all.
Yeah. That's kind of where I'm leaning, like you just said. I mean, Trey White comes back. He'll probably be back around first month of the season or so, because I believe that's kind of when he got hurt.
I'd say October. He'll probably be back. Probably something like Von Miller.
Right. So if he comes back, And if he plays well, a lot of what ifs, right? Like, that's the problem with their corner position right now. Mm-hmm. If they all come back and they all play well, then what are you going to do? You know, these guys aren't going to want to sit on the bench.
Trade somebody.
Yeah, but I don't think you want to do that as a team, because if you look at that, yeah, Rasul Douglas is 29. I think he turns 30 before the season starts.
Yeah,
so he's moving into his 30s. I don't know if we would extend him much beyond 2024, maybe a year or two.
I could see a 2-year extension coming this offseason.
Yeah.
You know, make it a 3-year deal, spread out the cap.
Yeah, so it'll definitely be interesting. I personally think that if there's anybody that gets moved to safety, it would be Benford, because I think he just skill-wise fits the best.
Agreed.
But yeah, it's going to depend largely on Dane Jackson. He's a free agent too. If he doesn't come back, I don't know, Levi Wallace 2.0.
I know. He gains my respect more. He gains my respect more and more every year. Like, cause because on one hand, all of a sudden he'll make a great play. The next hand, I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Like, it's just one of those, like, it's kind of like Gabe Davis to me. Like, it's too wishy-washy. I'm a person more so on consistency. Like, I don't know if it's an OCD thing. Like, I got to be on time to everything. Like it's just, I just want consistency. Either be good all the time, like average good all the time, not pretty good, and then not very awesome. Like, meet me in the middle. Just be good. Like, and I'm fine with that.
Average is fine as long as it's consistent. Even.
Yeah.
And like, that's where I'm at with AJ Epenesa. Like, 1 week he's awesome. Yeah. The next 2 weeks, is he on the field? Like, is he playing? And it seems like, honestly, it seems like we have quite a few guys on this defense like that. Well, on offense too. When you mentioned Gabe Davis, you know, you look at, you mentioned them with Dane Jackson, you look at Epenesa, even Ed Oliver had a fantastic year, but there was a couple games where he disappeared. I don't expect these guys to be all pro every single week, but in the playoffs, and you're playing the Chiefs, you got to step up. Somebody on that defense needed to step up, and no one did. Not a single soul. And that seems kind of like the trend over the last 4 years with this defense. When you look at it, what's the common denominator? Well, you could say the head coach, obviously, and I know there's going to be people like, oh, I got to get rid of McDermott. He's the problem, and whatever.
I work with somebody who's a McDermott despiser. I mean, anytime I bring up –
there's a bunch.
Anytime I bring up his name, it's bleep, bleep that coach. Bleep, bleep, bleep that. He's a bleeping, bleep, bleep.
Is he a Bills fan or no?
Oh, he loves it, like, diehard. Diehard. And I'm like, so finally one time – I'm sorry, I know we're going off tangent here, but – I broke down and I was like, I want to hear like what your reasoning is that you don't like him. And he says, he said that he doesn't see McDermott really, he hasn't gotten better as a coach in his opinion. He says that he hasn't really learned from his mistakes. You know, we know his record with challenges. We know how atrocious that is. His time management skills, especially late in games, hasn't always been the best. And I see growth. Since his first year here with the Bills, there were times when I was ripping my hair out as a fan, like I'm sure many other people were, being like, how do you not call a timeout? Or why did you call a timeout? Why did you throw that challenge? It wasn't worth it, or it clearly wasn't going to happen. What did you see? Like, who told you what? But he just doesn't see it. Like, and I get it, you know, at this point, after 7 years, getting the AFC championship game with the playoffs, 6 out of 7 years, it's one of those things to where, like, it feels, some people feel like they're beating a dead horse, like just going, running it back with McDermott. But I want him at the helm, you know, right now, I'll say.
me too. I think we've all made our feelings on that pretty clear. The other, to me, common denominator is the players. The defense has been pretty much the same group of people for the most part. Added a couple people here and there. Von Miller, of course, which, you know, that's a whole other story. But, and this is one reason why I want to see an infusion of youth. Like, let's We've got, 10 draft picks, I think. And I know people, they laugh at me when I say this, but Bean needs to keep all 10 of those picks. I understand why people think that's funny. I get it. But
it's
really funny because
we all know it's not going to happen.
I know. But I wanted to keep all 10 and draft all 10. I would say I go 6 on defensive side at a minimum. Bring in 6 defensive players, new guys. Be prepared to lean on those defensive guys, especially right now. I think this is the year, 2024, where you almost have to do that. And here's one reason for that. We're $50-plus million over the salary cap. There's a lot of talk about restructuring Diggs and Miller's contracts to help get us down. Yes, that would help get us down right now. But what people don't think about is the fact that that money still has to get paid. You're just moving it from this year to the next 2 years. And next year, we're in the same boat.
Yeah, so it's piling up.
Just take your medicine now.
To be honest, like, if we can get through this year and not not kick everything down the road, we're not in a bad shape, like, cap-wise. I was looking last week on SpotTrack, and I noticed, like, we were, like, the next 2 years, we're projected to be over the cap by something like $30 million, and that's before clearing anything up. So I think, yeah, like you're saying, we just need to eat our lumps this year and deal with it. You know, get through it, do what we need to do. Like you said, draft young, and and next year we can be buyers again at free agency. We, you know, not get Saquon Barkley and Von Miller and DeAndre Hopkins, but, you know, we might be able to sign one of those guys and then fill out the rest with the mid-tier players. But that, we just need to take our lumps this year. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Ron.
No, you're spot on. Exactly. What do you think, Mike?
It's hard to follow that up. I mean, he nailed it. I can't add much to that, honestly.
Matthew in the comments wants to know if we've discussed draft prospects yet. I assume you mean like all of them. I'm not sure if you're referring to a specific position. But there are a few safeties that I would not, you know, be mad about. There's one. In fact, if you're looking at PFF's draft board, they're what are you going to call it, their top picks or whatever. Mm-hmm. Tyler Maven from Minnesota, he's number 32 overall, and he's their top safety in this group. I don't have a whole lot of the details on him as far as, you know, the 40 and all of that kind of thing, but he's a 6'2", 210-pound safety. I do like the size.
That's a big boy.
I just don't know if I like that a safety as the first pick. Given the situation, though, he could be the best value at that spot.
Yeah.
But we also saw last year with Brian Branch, I mean, was clearly hands down like the best safety prospect. And he fell to what, like the third round? You know, there might have been one or two safeties taken before him. And he was, I think he was like the Lions' third leading tackler this year. Behind
he had a good year.
Jack Campbell, Mike's prospect love last year, is man crush. So I think safety is somebody that, you know, seeing how the board starts falling, like, we might be able to wait and, you know, trade back up late into the second round or trade up in the third round and be able to grab him or somebody like a Cam Kitchens. And not have to rely on him to play next year if we can get Hyde back.
You know where Pro Football Focus ranks Cameron Kitchens?
Probably like 78th.
Pretty close. 80th. 80th overall. Oh. He's 6'205", another big guy. They have him 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, fifth best safety in the bunch. There's Jaden Hicks, who's the 56th ranked, according to Pro Football Focus's draft board. He's 6'3", 212. I do like the size, and I do hope that that's what they – like, nothing against DeMar Hamlin. When I see him on the field, though, he looks small to me. And maybe he's not. I actually haven't looked up his sizes or anything like that, but he plays a lot bigger than he looks to me. And And while that's commendable, I want a defense with some size. Like even, well, let's kind of transition into defensive tackles a little bit because I know we want to talk about that too. Even with Ed Oliver, I love his play. I like watching him play. He was really, really good last year. I personally am not a big fan of the undersized defensive tackles. Because I remember back in the early or late 90s and early 2000s when we had guys like Sam Adams and big Ted Washington, like 700 pounds worth of man meat in the middle of that defensive line, and they could not be moved. And Buffalo had one of the best run defenses, one of the best overall defenses in the league. In fact, 1999, when they lost to the freaking Titans in the Music City Miracle, baloney, we had the number we had the number one defense in football. I like those big dudes in the middle because they just like two guys that big.
Yeah,
you have to double team them, and now you know what are you going to do with you know you got Von Miller, just, or Leonard Floyd, or AJ Epinesa.
Just the physics or the science behind it. It's like they take up more space on the field. The gaps are tighter. Like it's just.
Well, and if you're,
that's what it is. I have one comeback.
Okay.
Aaron Donald.
There's some exceptions, yes.
And so
but
that
there's only one was, Aaron Donald.
But that was the comp for Ed Oliver. Was not saying that he was going to become Aaron Donald. I mean, because like you just said. There's one Aaron Donald. I mean, the guy has a walking six pack. I mean, like when like it's gross the kind of shape he is in. You know, at Oliver, I mean, he's built like a he's built how a defensive lineman is supposed to. He's just a little short. See, this is why we don't have nice things.
It's okay, it's just a keyboard.
So I get what you're saying. Like I think that's why they brought in Daquan Jones, you know, the last couple of years, because he's a big, I mean, he's a big boy. He's a true one tech. So I think getting just somebody opposite out of Oliver, like you said, like just somebody big and could move. I mean, I was begging for Jordan Davis in the draft a couple of years ago for that exact reason to pair him next to Ed Oliver. Imagine how small Ed Oliver would look next to that gigantic monster. Seeing those two walk out on the field and be like, they play the same position? Are you kidding? Like, who do we double? One of them's going to go over us, and the other one's going to go around us. So what do we do?
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Right.
Is there any, well, let me just throw out this thought really quick before I forget it, because I'm old and I forget stuff.
Don't get me started.
To me, those big 320, 330, 40, whatever pound guys, they rarely have a bad game because they're still going to be big. And so for the defensive line or offensive lineman to get out there and try to move them around, it's still going to be difficult. It's still going to be a battle, even if that 350-pound DT is having a bad day. He's still got to move his weight, and so it's harder to have a bad day. And I go back to Ed Oliver, and I hate to beat on him, but the Chiefs, they completely manhandled him. The Bengals the year before that completely manhandled him to the point where it was like he wasn't even playing. And I'm kind of over that at this point, and not just from him. Like I said, there's been, you know, there's multiple guys on this team that seems to be a problem. But from the list of free agent guys, there's a few there that I do like, but there's not a lot of younger defensive tackles. Most of them are older. Is there anybody out there that you guys like?
Go ahead, Mike.
For D tackle position, I want to say, like obviously you pointed out that most of them are older, the free agents. So when we talk about moving up in the draft, I think that might be worth it because the safeties might be more available later in the draft. I think there's more more defensive interior guys that are going to go earlier. So if we're going to move up, I think we should go that route. I don't. We tried the free agency thing, sort of with Puna, and it didn't really amount to anything. So maybe some newer, younger talent there.
Yeah, Puna forward, rather
than the free agent pool.
Granted, but I also he's not that old, but
while I'm talking about the draft, and we were just talking about safeties, I just want to throw out another name. Kalen Bullock from USC is ranked at 45 on PFF right now. So that's another one to look out for. It says he has a rare range in coverage, elite athleticism, and makes him a turnover machine in the past two seasons. So when you hear stuff like that, that gets you a little excited. So he's later than the other ones. So if you're going to go high for a tackle, I think you could wait in the draft and probably get a decent safety this year.
Yeah, I just kind of go back to what Casey has said a couple of times now. If you want to get an elite defensive lineman, you got to get him early.
Yeah.
And there is one defensive lineman that I'm going to bring up because Matthew here kind of already addressed it. I think this one. I think we trade up in the 50 range to pick up Tavondre Sweat. I didn't know a whole heck of a lot about him until today. I'm starting to write a piece on him. And this guy is a mammoth, 6'4", 362 pounds. Give me that all day long.
No, we all know in the pros he's going to drop down to about 340.
Give me that.
I'm sorry, but 340. Oh, what a shame.
That's the big.
Because he's also young. I mean, he's still got a little bit of that baby fat on him. So, yeah. I mean, don't we all? But
Yeah.
It's baby, not beer, right?
No, not at all.
The NFL, they whip guys into shape. And we saw what McDermott did with Epinesa. His first year, he came in at 280, and he made him drop 20 pounds. And
was he really 280?
He was right around there. And maybe it was 280, yeah. 260, and 260, 240. I can't remember. And then we saw it. Like, he wasn't playing well at all his rookie year. He just didn't look comfortable, and he kind of wasn't sure how to use his body at that point because he had never usually played it that way. You know, it's a whole different play style. He got a little faster, a little quicker. So they made him put on some poundage again. We've seen what he's done the last 3 years. He's done nothing but get better and make more of an impact on this team. So I think it's just one of the pop around. We're going to fight. Don't hate on my man, AJ. And I could see them doing that with Tavondre Sweat because he won't. I feel like Daquan is going to be coming. Daquan Jones is going to be coming back. I really do. I just have that gut. I have that gut feeling to where he'll be back. Probably sign a 2-year deal, with next year, with the second year probably being a little bit of a void year or incentive laden year. And that way they can work with Tavondre Sweat, you know, make him tackle 3 or 4 and get him, you know, 10, 15 reps a game, get him used to the NFL, used to his new playing style, his new body style, and let him learn behind Daquan and Ed, who were solidified as two very good tackles in this league.
Yeah, I kind of laid it out in that article that I'm writing up, it'll go live tomorrow. But anyways, the direction for me that I want to see at the defensive tackle position, obviously Oliver's under contract. Let's re-sign Daquan Jones. Even though, we keep talking about getting younger, I think he still has a year or two of elite play left in him. And then let's go out there and let's sign a large man free agent. Not one of these bigger ones, because guys like DJ Reader, who would be fantastic, I believe he's in the 320s, great, great talent. I think he'd be awesome. However, his market value, according to SpotTrack, is set at $14.9 million, or estimated at $14.9 million.
Not a chance.
I don't see that one happening. But there were
guys like Shelby Harris are out there. You know, all these guys that are starting to hit age 31, 32, Sheldon Rankins is out there.
He's on the smaller side though.
But he's still just one of the, and there's also, again, like we said, not many defensive tackles out there in free agency this year, you know, that are even, no offense, but too worth mentioning, that would make too high of an impact. You know, my opinion, I'm kind of down for bringing back Linval Joseph. You know, I think McDermott saw that we needed some meat in the middle of the defense last year, brought him in, and he, in my opinion, he played well. He did exactly what the team needed him to do. He ate up space. He made some key plays here and there when we needed it. And I think he'd be perfect for a fourth tackle, a defensive tackle on the team. Mix him in with another, like we said, somebody like a Devondre Sweat. And then we have Puna as defensive tackle 5, who can be, you know, he's our inactive on game days, just like this year.
Well, I'm against Joseph for the simple fact that he's like 95 years old. So not real keen on him. I do like Puna Ford coming back, who is also a free agent. We've talked about this multiple times. They've got, I think, 21 pending free agents. 14 of those are on defense, and 8 of those are on the defensive line. The defensive tackle position, Ed Oliver is the only one that's there. So I'm okay with bringing Puna Ford back because he signed on late in the season. Not late in the season, but late in the offseason. He was a late addition. I do want to see how he can do with this team. He's one of the younger ones. And with a full offseason, with a new defensive line coach, and see where that can go. I like Puna Ford for the depth. The other thing I would do is, of course, draft a defensive tackle. Where that ends up being, I don't know. I feel like this year, more than maybe the last couple of years, the Bills have a few more questions as some positions than they've had in the past that they need to answer. So I think it's going to be hard for as fans to get for the Bills to draft all the guys that we want.
I don't know.
But what do you think?
What about somebody like an Eli Anku coming back? And we saw when he was elevated the last few years, he'd come in because we had so many injuries at defensive tackle. I didn't think he played poorly. I mean, I think you know he's a solidified, bona fide starter in this league? No, but I wouldn't mind him, you know, as our fourth defensive tackle. He'd be also very cheap to get.
He'd be really cheap because he's been mostly a practice squad guy though, and I think to some extent we're going to have to accept that there's not going to be probably a lot of depth at certain positions on this team this year because of the salary cap situation. however, if you follow our Facebook page at the Mafia Cast, just a shameless quick plug for that. Please go over there and follow that. We're trying to hit 500 by the start of the season. We'd love to get to 1,000 by the end of the year. But if you follow that now, you saw an article that I put up the other day. That there's actually talk of the salary cap being about close to $8 million higher than what they initially anticipated. So around, I think it was $250 million, which right now they're projecting $242. That $8 million, and though it doesn't sound like a lot, I think it'd be huge. I think that $8 million makes a difference. Exactly. I think that would be the difference between bringing back a Daquan Jones and a Taylor Rapp versus one or neither. I don't know. Is like I said with who was the other name you just mentioned?
Anku.
Joseph.
Anquil.
No. Anquil. Well, first of all, with Joseph, I think you know. All kidding aside, I think he's 35 or will be 35. As far as Anku, to me, he's just kind of been a career practice squad guy. I don't see him making an impact. I don't know that we've really seen enough that if he had to step in, if we could really, as a fan, look at it, it's like, oh, well, we're good. We're okay. It's him. Because there's such a drop-off from Jones to everybody else. I personally, that makes me nervous. But, I mean, we're going to feel that way with a rookie. What do you got, Mike?
I don't know. I know you and Aaron kind of more talked about it last week. That like moving back in the draft might almost be your best chance. Kind of the quantity. I don't want to say quantity over quality, but the way he put it is, you have more lottery tickets, and where we might be at a time now where I think we are all kind of getting into it, that we got to fill this team with younger talent now, and maybe that's the move. Maybe we don't move up and you know, get Devondre Sweat, so we just, you know, we go for depth. You know, we get as many as we can, and you know, there's third, fourth round players that end up being great in the NFL. So the more lottery tickets you have, the better chances are that you're going to hit and get somebody.
Which is why I don't want to give up any of
the draft
picks.
It'll cost a lot less.
Matthew here brings up a good point in the comments. Tim Settle being a letdown really set back this defensive tackle room. I'll be the first to admit I was really, really high on Settle when they first assigned him. Casey, you too. And yeah, he's kind of been a letdown. I mean, he's been an okay rotational piece, but I expected a lot more out of him.
I mean, he came over from Washington the year after my wife and I met, and that's who her team is. She loves Washington. And why? I have no idea, but she does.
It's a family
thing. It is a family thing. It's her dad's team. I got to see it. You know, I got to see him play, you know, but when he was playing for them, but he was playing behind Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen. And you got to be world class to get in front of those guys. I mean, those are two bona fide studs in this league. But when he did play, like, I was very intrigued. Like, he, it's not like he was getting in the backfield making a sack or a tackle for loss every other play, but I thought he held his own. I thought he played well. And so when he came over to the Bills, I was like, that's exactly what we need. We just need somebody mm-hmm. to be able to come in off the bench and just hold it down for a couple of plays, give these guys a breather. You know, maybe every third game he gets a sack, he makes one impact play. Cool. That's what you're looking for from depth rotation players. And I thought we were going to get that. And like Matt said, he has been probably my biggest letdown the last few years, like just personally. I had very high hopes for him.
What do you think about Marcus West, the new defensive line coach, versus Eric Washington? Because like I mentioned, well, I've said it a few times now, the defense just kind of let us down in the playoffs. And part of that equation has been Eric Washington the last handful of years. Do you think that maybe Marcus West makes a difference with guys like Puna Ford or Tim Settle?
I'll let Mike take this one.
I feel like it's sort of, I mean, I can't get into too much details about the coaches specifically, but I feel like it's more, you know, we're kind of just throwing mud at the wall and seeing what sticks, you know, I mean, the coaching, we have seen coaching changes work somewhat well for us recently. So mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, we're just going for it.
I mean, you always see, you know, when teams perform poorly, coaches are the first one to go. You know, they're the first ones blamed because they're the easiest ones. You know, there's no cap you got to deal with. You know, there's no what this or that. So I think McDermott he didn't push these guys out the door. I don't think he was necessarily going to fire them, but I think he was he lit the flame to get their seat kind of warm for this upcoming year. And I think it's just one of those, we're waiting to see, like we're trying to scratch out every variable and figure out, all right, what is the problem? You know, McDermott's now got a new OC. He's got a new DC. He's got a new safeties coach or defensive backs coach. He's got a new linebacker coach and a new defensive line coach. If this team performs the same, like in the playoffs as they did, like defensively, I should say, as they had the last couple of years, you know, and not be able to get to Mahomes at all, not be able to, you know, cause turnovers, then yeah, then that's where everybody's going to be like, all right, there's only one variable left, you know, and that would be McDermott. So I think, you know, he's doing his due diligence and just seeing what truly is the issue. Was it the coaching, or do we now need to shake up the entire defensive roster?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
One other variable that I'll throw in there, though, is the injuries. I think the last 2 years, that's been the issue, more so than anything. And I know there's a lot of fans that are pretty upset with Von Miller and his lack of production and, you know, blaming Bean for that horrendous contract. But let's be honest here. If Miller goes out there and finishes last season and he, you know, makes a big play against Joe Burrow for a strip sack, and he finishes the year with 15 sacks and comes back and does it again this year, nobody's complaining about anything. They're like, oh, the best deal Bean's ever done. He's just playing, you know, big baller Bean. He's the man. You can't, the injuries just completely change everything. And that, and I think as fans, that's one thing that's so frustrating.
You can't predict it.
Yeah, that's the one thing in the last 2 years that's killing us.
Yeah.
You can't blame, like, Bean. Every team offered Von Miller that sized contract. Every single team, the Broncos, the Rams, the Bills, we all did it. Like you guys just said, it's injuries. I mean, it happens. You can't blame a team. You can't be scared of that. You know, that can't be something that sways you. Now, if a player is, you know, if it's somebody like a Sammy Watkins, then yeah, you know, maybe let's not sign him to a 5-year, $160 million deal. But somebody like Von Miller, who only had before he blew out his knee, he only had two serious injuries in what, the 10 years that he had played in the NFL. I'll take that, you know, for as explosive and as hard of a position as he's playing, you know, and putting all that pressure on his knee and his ankle, like that, like I'll take those odds. And at that point in time, I mean, yeah, that was a very fitting contract for somebody who just came off of winning a Super Bowl and having an amazing year with the Rams.
We're gonna take a quick tangent because you mentioned his name, Sammy Watkins. And it's funny you mentioned the name because Fernando, our fellow Buffalo Rumblings podcast host, check him out. He does some great work. He posted up earlier today. Somebody actually asked the question, name a trade or free agent signing that you loved the day it happened but hated later on. Fernando, of course, brought up Von Miller, which you know, kind of sparked why I wanted to bring it up. But then you brought up Sammy Watkins, which is funny because that was mine. And I said the Sammy Watkins deal, he was said by so many analysts at the time to be the next Jerry Rice. Took the Bills years to recover from him. And, of course, you know, then Fernando came back, and he's a Sammy Watkins fan, apparently. And he said, I won't accept Sammy Watkins slander on my timeline, all jokes aside. He goes back to injuries.
It is,
Sammy
though.
Watkins. And that being the reason for it. But what I remember is just one team every single year. He was a different team, a different team, a different team. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys, because I haven't looked it up, but were there really that many injuries early in his career that set him back that much to turn him into basically a journeyman wide receiver?
It wasn't. It was just the same. It was the same injury over and over again. It was his foot. And he admitted that, like, when he played for the Bills, he came back too soon. He pushed it and he came back too soon, and it wasn't healing right. And I think the Bills, like, they traded him because they were like, we have to cut bait. Like, we have to get something for him while we still can. You know, and throughout his career, when he played for the Rams, he played for the Chiefs, the Packers, like, all of them. Like, there were always injuries.
He ended up with the Ravens at one point, too. Yeah.
And the Ravens. And I think at that point, they were just like, yeah, no, you're definitely just not that good anymore.
That's crazy, man. I never thought how many teams he was on.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot, and it was because he couldn't stay healthy. So, Fernando, if you want to come on here, receivers. Fernando wants to come on the show and debate about this, we can, because there's a difference between Von Miller getting injured what, like, for the third time in his 12, let's just call it 12 years, because I don't know how long he's been in the league exactly, that over Sammy Watkins, who over his first 6 years or 8 years had, what, seven injuries, you know, if you count the same injury over and over again, because he was too impatient to let it heal properly. Yeah. But again, do you attribute that to the player, or do you got to put some of that slack on teams to where you have to sometimes protect the player from themselves?
I think a lot of that goes back on the team, because we know McDermott and company, they are very conservative with returning players off of injury. So, yeah, I don't know. We're getting short on time, but there's one other thing here that kind of getting back on track a little bit, that Matthew brought up another player, defensive tackle, McKinley Jackson. Yeah, he's another big guy, 6'2", 325, and he is definitely somebody that you can get later on in the draft as well. But again, I kind of go back to what you said. If you want to get an elite defensive lineman, you got to get him early.
But that's usually more so the case for, and that's usually more so the case for an edge. If you want a bona fide edge, like, that you know is going to be good, they're going to be a top five pick in the draft. I mean, Aiden Hutchinson, Trayvon Walker, you know, a couple of years ago, like, those two guys, you know, they all said Trayvon Walker is not a number two pick worthy right now, but watch him grow. And yeah, this past year he's played phenomenal. You know, he took a huge step from his rookie year. And then you look at the Bosa brothers, you know, you look at Von Miller, you look at Myles Garrett, all these guys, they went top five. And it's because people, like, you know what you're going to get out of those guys. You know, the Bills have been taking end of the first, you know, second round guys since we drafted Shaq Lawson at, I think, like, pick 16, 800 years ago. That's the highest we've picked a defensive lineman. So it's just, we've been doing a lot of projects with guys. And I think we're all, Bills Mafia as a whole, starting to want somebody who's more bona fide and solidified, more of a sure thing than somebody who could be amazing. We want somebody who's just going to be pretty damn good, like, consistently.
Yeah, but, you know, to Brandon Bean's point, if you want to get somebody like that, he doesn't want to be bad enough to do it.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be bad enough to get Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, so let's move in really quick to the next thing here, the running back room. I believe this one is similar to actually the defensive tackles. We got one guy under contract. Who's the second one? Hines, that's right. He's on a contract here, so 2024 is his final year. And with him, I do remember Brandon Bean in one of the post-game or the post-season or after season press conferences, whatever you want to call it, he did comment that Hines is part of their 2024 plans, but if they let him go, it's a $5 million savings, and the hit is like $1 million. It's not anything. I don't know that he survives the salary cap casualty situation, but
is he going to be one of those guys that Bean's like, hey, we're going to cut you. I'll meet you in the parking lot in 5 freaking minutes. Don't drive away. Because we saw that, we see him do it with Reed Ferguson every single year. Yeah, he's like, hey, we're going to cut you, you know, and Reed's like, all right, I'll be grilling. Like, let me know. Grill's Mafia. and like, cause he, like, it's just one of those things, you know, that's how GMs can work their magic. You know, they can cut guys and they know that they're going to be on the team, or they're at least going to be competing for a spot in the team. And so, hey, we're going to cut you now. We got to save our space. And then we'll sign you to an incentive deal where you should make that same exact money that you would have made this year. Just it won't count against our cap.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that. What about the other guys? Ty Johnson, Latavius Murray, and Damien Harris. Any of those guys you want back?
Those are all contracts that are all up.
Yeah,
those are all pending free agents.
Ty Johnson looked really good.
Don't be a homer. Okay.
Don't be a homer.
We do love to bring back the oldest running back in the league.
Yeah, but Ty Johnson looked really good.
He did.
He did. He had some really good moments. Like I said, we love Latavius, but there was a couple of questionable things this year.
I think the age caught up to him at the end of the year.
Yeah, well,
I think it's more so
just a long time to be in the league.
Age caught up to him. The average running back lifespan in the NFL is 3 years. So for him to be in the league for this long, you know, into his 30s, that's Frank Gore. Like, yeah. I mean, does he have the same stats as Frank Gore? No, but like the longevity is, like Ronnie said, impressive.
Yeah.
He's just not a very good catcher.
And right. He's a great blocker. Right.
But do we?
I don't. Well, okay. First of all, I'm not a big fan of the specialized running back. And we've talked about that before. I want a guy that can do it all, right?
Yeah.
Offers more versatility that way. You can do more with your offense with him. I was kind of chuckling a while ago because you mentioned Frank Gore. And I kind of wonder if you're reading my mind or if you're reading my articles, because I mentioned Frank Gore as a possible draft pick for the Bills late in the draft. For those of you who don't know, this is Frank Gore Jr., whose dad just retired a season ago, so that's kind of odd. But I watched him at, I believe it was the East-West Shrine game that he played in, and he was fantastic. I think he had like 80 yards on 6 carries, a touchdown, 3 or 4 receptions. Like, he looked good. I would not be opposed to the Bills going that route. Keep Hines, keep Cook, draft Gore, and let's roll with those three. I don't need the big power back. If the offensive line just blocks, you don't need a power guy, right? Just open up the hole. The guy can go through it.
You see what Cook can do.
Yeah, I mean.
Everybody said Harris, he can't run between the tackles. We got 2 good tackles, and look, he's able to do it.
Yeah. Damon Harris just gets hurt all the time. I don't know. I was excited to see what he could do with this team last year because I think he is a good back. But, you know, it's pointless if he's on the bench or in the medical room the whole time. And then who was the other one? Who are we missing here? Ty Johnson.
Ty Johnson.
The Bills carried 4 running backs this year, right? Not counting the fullback.
No, we only carried 3.
No, they didn't.
Johnson.
Yeah,
because Ty Johnson, Harris Latavius,
was IR.
Cook, yeah.
Hines was IR. I don't know if there's room for Ty Johnson if they keep Hines and obviously Cook and then they draft somebody. They could keep Hines, Cook, and re-sign Johnson. But then, to me, I don't see Johnson re-signing if he is the number 3 guy.
Yeah,
but he had his chance. Like, he had his chances last year, and he started on our practice squad for a long time. I'd say a long time. We started the year with just Latavius and Cook for a while. You know, first few games, and then Johnson wasn't even supposed to be here. And then next, you know, we signed him to our practice squad, and he just lucking out due to injury, got the chances and played well. Well enough, you know. I think he would stay here because he was used even being the 3rd running back this year. You know, if we offer him, you know, not a vet minimum deal, but a low offer deal, and we can just maintain the running back room because he's young. I think that he and Cook could definitely be like the future 1-2 punch for us. Following this year. Even with Hines, you know, we let the Hines contract expire after this year, and then it's Johnson and Cook, and then we bring in a rookie next year.
Yeah, I could certainly see it that way. Really quick, we're towards the end of the show. Please hit the smash the like button and subscribe. Check us out over on the Facebook page at the Mafia Cast. You can also find us on Instagram, same thing at the Mafia Cast. And before we go, Mike, what do we got going on as far as the giveaway?
I know. I finally got the graphics. So I just want to throw this up here so everyone can see. It's a Josh Allen rookie card provided by John at Game On Sports. He's hooking everyone up. Everyone's got a shot to win this thing. We got a week going on with this contest. So what you have to do is get on Facebook, like and follow both pages, Game On Sports and the Mafia Cast. Find the original post. Tag 3 friends in the comments. Make sure you like the post, and then you're entered to win. next week's show, 7 p.m. on Thursday, we will have John on the show and we will elect the winner. And that'll be announced. And good luck to everyone. Check out the page for that and more. We're going to see John this weekend at the Batavia Sports Expo. So he'll have a booth set up there. Players signing autographs, all that cool, fun stuff. So come on, check that out. Check out our Facebook page again, Game On Sports 2 as well, in the Mafia Cast. Check out the contest, enter to win, and good luck. So that's what's going on with that. And I wish I could win it, man.
I know. If you are a regular listener of our vidcast, please tell your friends who are not watching to either watch or check out the podcast version, which usually drops tonight. I get it uploaded later tonight. But, yeah, spread the word, people. We want more people. We want to build this family, this community of the Mafia Cast.
That's right. Bill's Mafia.
Casey, do you have anything else you want to add?
Nope.
All right. We're going to get on out of here. We'll see you all next week. Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Go Bills. Tell your friends.